It was 5 weeks ago that we began the Ignite series, which is a study of the spiritual gifts. And the Ignite series is divided into three main sections. The first section is the speaking gifts. The second section is the serving gifts. And then the final section will be the signifying gifts. And we find ourselves tonight in that first section, the speaking gifts. And the gift that we're studying tonight is the gift of teaching. Now, teachers, they're always interested in finding interesting ways to get their point across. I can't help but think about Jesus and the parables that he used in order to convey the principles that he was attempting to teach. Good teachers use parables to make their point. Good teachers also use props at times or use different kinds of things to help people understand visibly what they're trying to talk about. And there was a high school chemistry teacher at Smithfield Selma Senior High School in Raleigh, North Connecticut. He's no longer employed, I don't believe. He conducted an experiment with students to show the limits of the body's ability to neutralize acid in milk. And so in order to demonstrate this, he had kids drink milk until they vomited. And parents weren't too happy about that. Now, the gift of teaching, it has nothing to do with the ability to make kids vomit. I would hope that no one here hurls during this study tonight. But to better understand this gift of teaching, let's look at our text, 1 Corinthians 12, 27 and 28. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we've been studying one of the lists that we find in the Bible that gives us the titles of various gifts of the Holy Spirit. Again, that word gift is charisma, which is where we get our word charismatic from. And so we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning in verse 27, another of these lists of the spiritual gifts. And it says, "You are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers." And we'll stop right there. We've studied the gift of apostleship. We've studied the gift of prophecy. And now we're studying the gift of teaching. And in order to more fully understand the gift of teaching, we're going to look at this word and this gift three-dimensionally. We're going to use three D words. The first D word we're going to use is define. We're going to define what this gift is. The second D word that we're going to use is diagnose. We will diagnose this gift in order to, well, actually we'll diagnose ourselves to see if we have the gift or not. And then the third D word that we're going to use is develop. For those of us who do have this gift, I'll be talking about a few ways in which we can develop this gift. And so let's start by defining that first D word, define. But first, as we define this, I want to draw a distinction between two things that are commonly misunderstood. People mistakenly equate preaching and teaching. Now understand that preaching has more to do with the proclamation of the gospel to the unsaved. And teaching is aimed at helping believers to better understand what the Bible teaches and how to apply it to our lives. And it's sad that too many churches have a preacher in the pulpit when they need to have a teacher in the pulpit. And they need to send the preachers out of the church to go and lead the lost back into the church where they can receive teaching. But to preach to the people in the church, the majority of which are already saved, is for Christians just to show up and hear the gospel over and over and over and over again. We've heard it, we've accepted it, we believe it. Now teach us from there. We've laid the foundation of repentance. Now let's move on towards perfection. Let's not go back to the same foundation over and over and over again. So understand that preaching is to the unsaved, which the majority of those people are out there, outside of the church. Teaching is for people inside of the church who are typically believers. So if you want more detail on the distinction between preaching and teaching, and then even next week's gift, exhortation, I recently taught Acts chapter 11. It's a study called The Instruction Function, and you can listen to it free online at our website, or you can order it through our CD ministry and pick up a copy of that on disc. But let's move on, because I want to talk about some lexical definitions. Okay, so where it says that he's called some to be teachers, this word teacher, in a New Testament sense, is one who teaches concerning the things of God and the duties of man. Now, the word teacher speaks of those who, in the religious assemblies of Christians, undertook the work of teaching with the special assistance of the Holy Spirit. And so the teachers are those people who are looking to the Holy Spirit to help them and guide them to teach in the assemblies or in the church. Now, in the Greek, this word teacher comes from a root word, which is basically teaching. It comes from the Greek word didasko. And this word didasko, or teaching, means to hold discourse with others in order to instruct them or to deliver didactic discourses. It means to instill doctrine in one or to explain or expound a thing. And so the gift of teaching is a gift we see in operation throughout the Bible. We see the gift of teaching happening in the Old Testament, and we see the gift of teaching happening in the New Testament. And so turn to Exodus chapter 4. Hold your place there in 1 Corinthians. And let's go to Exodus chapter 4. We're going to look at the gift of teaching in the Old Testament. And here in Exodus chapter 4, God was preparing Moses to stand before Pharaoh. And he was going to demand the release of the Hebrew slaves. He was going to say, Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Now, Moses offered God a few reasons why he couldn't go before Pharaoh. And one of the reasons that he offered is that he was lacking the eloquence to stand before Pharaoh and actually speak. And so we see here in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10, then Moses said to the Lord, oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And so here we see that God's going to personally teach Moses. Now, this is at the time before the word was written. Okay? So we have to understand that Moses had not yet written the Torah. Chances are the book of Job had not been written. Chances are none of the Bible had been written at this point in time. So understand that he didn't have the word to go to and to start looking up the Hebrew, and which he already spoke, and to start understanding, you know, what did that prophet or that teacher mean when he wrote Matthew chapter 4, verse, you know. Moses didn't have that. So God was going to teach him personally. So we see God giving Moses this gift of teaching. And then Moses was going to turn around and teach Aaron, who was going to speak to Pharaoh. So God taught Moses what to say. Also in the book of Nehemiah, we see the Levites leading the people into praise. Now, one thing that you have to understand about what's going on here is that they're coming back into their land. They're going to rebuild the wall, and they discover the books of the law. They discover the Word of God, and they're like, wow, we haven't studied this in a long time. And so these guys would spend 6 hours in Bible study and then 6 hours in a worship session. Awesome. I mean, that's incredible. How would you guys like to do that every Sunday? We'll study the Word for 6 hours, and then we'll turn around and praise for 6 hours. That's how excited they were about discovering the book of the law, about coming back into their land, about building the wall and fortifying their city. They were excited, man. They wanted to know what God's word had to say. And they were praising God for what was going on, but they were also praising God for how he had protected their people even before their time. And so in Nehemiah 9:20, one of the things that they praise God for is they praise him and say, "You also gave your good spirit to instruct them." They were thanking God that he had sent his Holy Spirit to instruct their forefathers. And it's through that instruction that they had the law, the Old Testament, the portions that they had of the Old Testament at that point in time. So they're sitting there going, "Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to instruct our forefathers so that we have these books today." They were praising him for that gift of teaching. And at that point, like I said, they had just spent 6 hours under the teaching of Ezra. And we see in Nehemiah 8:8 what kind of teaching Ezra was giving. In Nehemiah 8:8 it says, "So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading." So understand that Ezra has this gift of teaching, and he's reading the Bible distinctly, the parts of the Old Testament that they had at this point in time, and then he would give the sense of it, and then he would help them to understand the reading, or he would apply it to the situation that they were in at that point in time. So they would read, they would understand the sense of what they were reading, and then how it applied to them that day. Well, that's the Old Testament. But we also see the gift of teaching in the New Testament. Consider the perfect example of the gift of teaching, Jesus Christ. 58 times in the New Testament, Jesus is called teacher. Consider, I'm going to take one verse from each of the four Gospels, Matthew 19:16. If you guys are nimble-fingered, you could keep up with me here. Matthew 19:16 says this, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?'" Mark 13:1 says this, "Then as he went out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, 'Teacher, see what manner of stones and what buildings are here.'" In Luke chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" John 11, verse 8 says, "The disciples said to him, 'Teacher, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and are you going there again?'" Clearly, Jesus had a gift to teach. He had the gift of teaching. But where did this gift originate from? Because he grew up under a carpenter's roof, not a rabbi's roof or a scribe's roof. Understand that he was not trained to be a teacher. He was trained to cut wood. But here, he's acknowledged by so many different kinds of people, a lawyer, the disciples, even the scribes and the Pharisees, and everybody that approached him would say, "Rabbi, teacher, master." They acknowledged that he had this gift of teaching. Where did this gift come from? And most of us realize that, well, Jesus was God in the flesh. And so being God in the flesh, of course he would be a good teacher. But let me remind you of something. For those of you who have not delved into the depths of the hypostatic union, understand this doctrine of the hypostatic union, that being the two natures of Jesus. Jesus was 100% God, and he was 100% man. Being that he was 100% God, we would deduce that he would be a good teacher. Except understand in this doctrine of the hypostatic union that Jesus clothed his deity with humanity so that he basically limited his deity to only experience life as a human. And so every miracle that Jesus performed was not done by his internal deity, if you will, but it was done by the Holy Spirit according to the will of God the Father. So Jesus had to wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit to perform miracles because He limited his deity with his humanity. And so his teaching gift was also a gift from the Holy Spirit, according to the will of God the Father. Wow. Consider then that, like Jesus, those of us who are given this gift of teaching can be used in similar fashion as Jesus was used to teach. The result of receiving this empowering to teach from the Holy Spirit was obvious in Jesus' life. Consider Matthew 7:28, where it says, "And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." You see, the scribes would come along and say, "This rabbi wrote such and such, and that rabbi wrote this and that, and Moses said this," and they would quote people. That's where they got their authority, was that this rabbi said or this prophet said. They had no authority of their own. But when Jesus taught, he would say, "Thus saith the Lord. You have heard it said this way, but I say unto you this other." He taught with authority. And so they recognized that he had the authority to teach, that he was a good teacher. What they didn't understand was that, as far as the scribes and the Pharisees and the people that were after him, they didn't understand that his power to teach and his authority rested squarely in the arms of God. Jesus not only explained God's word to people, but he showed how to apply the teachings to their everyday life. And the importance of the gift of teaching is in the application. I mean, what does teaching God's word matter if we can't apply it to the world around us? If we can't apply the Bible to our own world and where we are? Then what we're stuck with is a body whose mind is theologically sharp. We know all the things in the Bible. But our body is also controlled by the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, because we can't apply the theology to our life today. And so the best theologians in the world, some of them are completely sinful, not caring anything about holiness or sanctification. They just have a bunch of theological knowledge, but they're not interested at all in God's holiness and how that applies to their life. Not every theologian, mind you, but many. Consider the scholars of the Jesus Seminar. The scholars of the Jesus Seminar have pored over the Scriptures time and time again. And when they walk away from the last reading, all they do is rule out that, well, Jesus probably didn't say this, but he might have said that, so on and so forth. That's all they can walk away with after reading the Scriptures is, well, we think Jesus probably said that, but he definitely didn't say that. Let's go home. It's not what the Word's there for. The Word's there to apply it to our lives so that we become more and more like Jesus. So application is a huge part of the gift of teaching. So let me give you this, a simple working definition of the gift of teaching. This is it. The gift of teaching is the supernatural ability to authoritatively explain and apply the truth of the Word of God. Let me read that again. The gift of teaching is the supernatural ability to authoritatively explain and apply the truth of the Word of God. That's what the gift of teaching is. And so, do you have it? Do you have this gift? Well, let me ask you a couple of diagnostic questions. And the answers to these questions might give you some indication of whether you have this gift or not. The first question is this: do you read and easily grasp the doctrines found in the Bible? Do you read and easily grasp the doctrines found in the Bible? For example, maybe you're in a small group Bible study, and you see other people struggling with a text, that you so easily understood. You didn't struggle with it at all, but several other people in your group just really can't get their mind around it. Or how about this? When you read the Word, you have no real problem seeing how the text applies to your life. You read the text and it's just real clear to you what God is telling you concerning your life just from reading the text. Second question is this. Do you enjoy studying the Bible with the use of lexicon or concordance? Maybe even commentaries? Maybe you have a study Bible. And you read the verse, and you read the verse, and then you run down. You can't wait to see what the little commentary is there at the bottom of the page. Maybe you have that center column cross-reference bar, and you love going through the Bible, taking that one verse and using it as a springboard to jump back into the Old Testament and back into the New Testament, and you study all the words that are associated with that one verse. Maybe you break out the Strong's Concordance, and you start looking up the Hebrew or the Greek or the Aramaic. Maybe you have Bible software and you love clicking on the little links that take you into understanding what that Greek word was and how to conjugate the verb. And if that describes you, then chances are you have the gift of teaching. Do you desire to help your friends and family understand what God's Word says concerning some trial that they're facing? Maybe you know some family member or some friend is going through some struggle. And as you're reading, as you're studying the Bible in your own devotional time, in your own private time, and you read over some text and all of a sudden it just jumps out at you. And you think, wow, that, you know what, I need to go tell so-and-so to read this verse because it's going to apply to this or that in their life. If that happens to you, it's possible that you might have the gift of teaching. Do people ever ask you to explain a biblical concept? Do you find yourself answering many questions that other people have about the Bible? Chances are they've heard you talking about the Bible and they think that you're an authority on the Bible. And so they come to you and they start asking, hey, now what did the Bible say? What does this mean over here? Maybe you're at work and you're part of like a Christian group at work that gets together praise and stuff, and they constantly look at you as the Bible answer man at your job. Or maybe people are always looking to you for your opinion when it comes to your small group at church. If you're saying yes to these questions, then it's a real possibility that you have the gift of teaching. And so if you want to pull out that yellow piece of paper, based on that definition that we've given, based on those questions, if you have this gift, you definitely know it. You're sitting there going, this describes me to a T. Circle a 10. And if you're saying, no, this doesn't describe me at all, then circle a 1. Or maybe you find yourself somewhere in between. Circle the number that best represents whether you have that gift or not. If you don't have this gift, I want to encourage you. You can give a sigh of relief. Because this is the one gift that comes with a warning. James chapter 3. Verse 1 says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. And so there's a warning with the gift of teaching, not to be taken lightly, that if we're going to enter into a place where we become teachers, understand then that when we stand before that bema seat of Christ to judge our works, whether we walked in the flesh or whether we walked in the Spirit, we will receive, teachers, a stricter judgment. For those of you with the gift of teaching, I hope that blesses you. It blesses me. There's a weight of that, though. You really have to consider, okay, God, is this really you? I'm going to wait on you until you give me the understanding of this text, because I don't want to go out there and teach something that's false and mislead people and lead people astray, only to stand before Him one day and receive that stricter judgment. It's not to be taken lightly. But if you do have this gift, let's talk about some development here in the last few minutes of this study. Too many people with the gift of teaching, I want to talk to you guys with the gift of teaching here, and I'm going to say this as harsh as I can. Too many people with the gift of teaching also have what's called the gift of pride. Well, no, that's not a gift. That's actually a sin. It's the sin of pride. That's what I meant. Seriously, I mean, they leave one church, and you know, they moved, or maybe they just, you know, got ran out of this one church because of their pride or whatever. They end up at another church, and they go up to the pastor or some leader, that's some obvious leader, and they say, "Yeah, I was teaching over here, and I taught over there, and I'm a teacher. I've got the gift of teaching, and so where do you want me to teach now? If you need me to fill in for you on Sunday morning, don't worry, I got that covered." I've actually had people approach me and talk to me just like that. "Yeah, I taught over here and I taught over there, and so here I am, I've arrived. Where do you want me to teach?" My answer, maybe you could go teach that broom how to sweep the floor. How about that? Let's start there. Let's see how well you do with that one. I've actually had people approach me like that, and I just think, what are you thinking? You think I'm just going to sit here and go, "Oh, you know, great, you just got here. I don't know you from Adam, and you know what? Can you teach for me this Sunday? I don't know what you're going to teach. I don't know what your doctrines are. I don't know if you're a false prophet. I don't know if you're here to fleece the sheep. I don't know who you are, but please, here's the microphone. Go for it. It must be the Lord." There's no way. There's no way I would subject the flock that God has given to me to take care of and all of a sudden just pass the pulpit over to some possible false teacher. No way. I care about you guys more than that. And if that person had the gift of teaching, to have the gift of teaching, you probably also need the word of wisdom. And they would have to understand that what they were doing and suggesting is not very wise at all. So because I see a lack of the word of wisdom, I also see a possible lack in the gift of teaching that they claim to have. If you do have the gift of teaching, here's what I encourage you to do. Develop a servant's heart. That's what we need to do, those of us with the gift of teaching. Because those of us with a servant's heart, that's any Christian, right? Any and every Christian needs to be developing a servant's heart. And that's what I love. I love meeting other teachers that just have that servant's heart, even when it comes to teaching. It's not about, "Well, I'm looking forward to my pulpit time so I can get up and show everybody how much I know." And those people, you know, become the kind of people who, you know, they're only going to take the best opportunities. They're only going to speak to the biggest crowds. They're only going to... And it just gets, oh, just come on. I had a friend of mine who has a small youth group not too far down the street from here who was like, "Hey, can you come next Saturday night and just come speak to my youth?" I'm just like, "Yeah, man, I'd love that. I'd love to come speak to those youth." And so Brenda and I went and just spent a Saturday evening with this little youth group. And it was just a blast. I wanted to do that because I wanted to serve my friend in the church that he's a youth pastor at. I want to use my gift of teaching with a servant's heart to walk through the opportunities and the doors that God gives me. But at the same time, I want to try to be available enough to, you know, push a broom, vacuum a carpet, anything but bathroom work. I can't clean bathrooms. We ought to have a servant's heart. We need to develop that servant's heart. And one way that we can do this is just plug into a ministry and start serving. Don't think that, well, because you have a gift of teaching, that every ministry that you get involved with, you have to teach. That's just the wrong way to look at it. If you have a gift of teaching, well, you probably have some other gifts too that you can be used. If there's no place to teach, serve some other way. Don't sit here and, "Well, I'm just going to wait right here until they need me to teach." We'll never need you to teach because you've got the wrong heart. Plug in to a ministry, start serving, and watch as God opens up doors to teach. Begin to serve, and if God wants you to teach, He's going to make it happen. But you should also understand, because a lot of people that roll up into a church and they have the gift of teaching, it's like they've got their eyes set on the senior pastor position. You know, and that's where you got to be, the senior pastor position. And I'll tell you what, you know, I just became a senior pastor a year ago, and there was 7 years before that I spent, you know, teaching third, fourth, fifth grade. I'd spent teaching junior high, high school. I spent several years teaching college career. You know, it wasn't like I just popped up one day and went, hey, I've got the gift of teaching. I'm ready to go be a senior pastor now. No, God developed me throughout all of those opportunities that I took to teach His Word and to study and to learn how to communicate. And I still want to continue to grow in that. But what I'm saying is that take any opportunity that you have. And so plug into children's ministry. If you have a gift of teaching, you know what? I bet children's ministry needs some hall monitors right now. Go plug into children's ministry and become a hall monitor. And as you're faithful with that, and next thing you know, a teaching opportunity opens up, you're right there, man. You're next in line. You're good to go. And you jump into that fourth and fifth grade class and start teaching the Word of God to fourth and fifth graders. Chuck Smith encourages people that if you want to be a senior pastor, go learn how to teach the Bible to fourth and fifth graders. And if you can teach the Bible to those kids, then you'll be ready to teach the Bible to adults, typically because the kids are a lot smarter than we are. But youth ministry, I mean, we have a junior high ministry right now where, you know, there's opportunities to teach. Eventually we'll have a high school of ministry here, you know, where there's going to be opportunities to teach. There are sometimes opportunities in women's ministry, and there's going to be opportunities in men's ministry. There's going to be opportunities here to teach. The question is, do you have a servant's heart? Every leader in this church, that's going to be the first thing they look for. Does this person have a servant's heart? Eventually, though, we will have courses. We'll have like a Bible, School of the Bible type of ministry here where we'll be teaching inductive Bible study method. We'll be teaching proper exegesis, and we'll be teaching biblical hermeneutics. And we'll be showing people how to study the Bible and how to prepare messages. That's going to come in the future. You could get a head start on it, though. Start now if you have the gift of teaching. So here's a couple of books that I would encourage you to read, so that you can be developing that gift of teaching right now. A quick little book that's simple to read but chocked full of nuggets, Warren Wiersbe's Elements of Preaching. Warren Wiersbe's Elements of Preaching is one of the most incredible books. And any time that I'm raising up teachers, it's one of the books that I always take them through. Another one is Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson. Biblical Preaching by Haddon Robinson. Excellent book. Also, Teaching to Change Lives by Howard Hendricks. Teaching to Change Lives by Howard Hendricks. And he's an excellent author. The book's chocked full of good information. But then a non-Christian book of just, you know, sentence structure and understanding the English language a little bit better. And it's called The Elements of Style. The Elements of Style by Strunk and White. It'll help you to understand the principles of effective communication. Start reading, and there's so many other books, I don't have time to list them. But start reading and studying your gift. Eventually, it's my desire to see Calvary South Austin sending out pastors to plant all throughout Judea. I think of Dripping Springs needs a Calvary Chapel, and we could list several other cities just right in the immediate area that need Calvary Chapels. People are driving way too far to get to a Calvary Chapel. Let's try to get some other Calvaries going. So our Judea, our Samaria, we want to reach out beyond our immediate area. We want to plant Calvaries in our Samaria, and then all the way to the uttermost ends of the world. And we want to send out pastors. And so, where are those pastors going to develop their gifts? Children's ministry, youth, junior high, high school, women's ministry, men's ministry. Start developing those gifts now. And that way we can send out pastors at some point in time in the future. Well, that concludes the study of the gift of teaching. And next week we're going to study the gift of exhortation. And that will be the final gift in that first section, the speaking gifts. And as we go through this study, it's my desire that when we get at the end, you'll be able to look at that Ignite inventory and understand perfectly how God has gifted you. Because my desire from there is that you begin to develop, use those gifts, build up the body, edify the Christians around you with those spiritual gifts. It's why we have them. So let's pray.